volatile stocks, and new financial rules.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to The Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as the stock market starts its trading day. The Dow's coming off its biggest setback in more than a year yesterday, so now where's Wall Street? Back up a little bit. The Dow's up 27 points now at 10,095, while the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are up more than 0.5%. Stocks are still lower in Europe and Asia today. Let's talk with Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, joining us live. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Now, I know the stock market is not the same thing as the economy, Chris, but it has been so volatile lately. How worried should we be?
Well, so far, the stock market is down 10%. That puts us in line with previous corrections, not yet bear markets. And also, bear in mind, our stocks are down less than any other stock market in the world, partly because capital is flowing into the U.S., which is bringing bond yields down, lowering the cost of borrowing, and offsetting some of the economic impact.
Interesting. Let's talk about the economic impact of this Senate passage yesterday of financial rule overhaul. Would these rules make our economy safer?
They will make our economy safer. Unfortunately, they'll also make our economy grow more slowly. And that's because when you eliminate certain types of credit, even credit that maybe wasn't well advised in the first place, it has an economic impact. And when you do it in a way where every country is sort of going off and regulating in its own direction, you also run the risk that U.S. financial companies won't be able to compete on the global stage.
Chief Economist Chris Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome.
And those proposed restrictions on trading could take a bite out of bank profits. Some analysts say that could hurt the economy. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
By one estimate in the Wall Street Journal, the Senate bill could cut profits at the big banks by about 20%. That's thanks to restrictions on trading in risky investments like derivatives. Charles Calamiris teaches finance at Columbia Business School. He says lawmakers caught up in public outrage against the banks may in fact hurt the public.
Global banking is in the service of global economics. If you start trying to turn the largest global banks into mom-and-pop deposit-taking and lending institutions, you do a huge amount of damage, not just to the banks and their profits, but to the operation of global markets.
Calamiris says that could raise the cost of borrowing for everyone and push more financial business overseas. But law professor Howell Jackson at Harvard says overall the bill is good for consumers.
There's a lot to like in this bill. There's plenty of attention on small controversial issues, but in the greater scheme of things, I think this is a very successful piece of legislation.
Jackson especially likes measures that would centralize consumer protection and monitor risk in the financial system. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And here's another perspective on the stock market turbulence from London. Our Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reports it's not just that banks are worried about new rules, it's how these government rules are being implemented.
Investors are fretting about a disorderly, uncoordinated crackdown. Other countries are taking their own approach, different from the US. Germany has slapped a ban on some types of speculation, and Britain is considering whether to break up some of its biggest banks. Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investments says the uncertainty is spooking the markets.
Because what you're seeing at the moment is politicians almost making it up on the hoof. And that's what's concerning, one of the issues concerning markets at the moment, because they need a level of consistency as to what the rules are and how they're going to be applied.
Britain's new Prime Minister David Cameron meets with the German leader today. He's expected to stress the need for an international consensus on new financial regulations. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, May 21st at Marketplace.org. Lawmakers from North and South Carolina are getting ready to introduce a bill in Congress to step up enforcement against counterfeit textiles labeled Made in the U.S. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich has that.
No one's answering at Yarns America. Hi, you've reached Yarns America, Inc. All lines are presently busy.
Other textile makers say Yarns America doesn't actually make yarn in America. It takes yarn made in Pakistan or China and illegally stamps it made in the USA. Hence, the Textile Enforcement and Security Act of 2010. For the remnants of the U.S. textile industry, here's how things are supposed to work. Our machines make the fibers and fabric. We ship it to our free trade partners in Mexico and Central America. They put it together, send it back, we wear it. Counterfeiters are trying to slip their goods into the mix.
There are Pakistani yarn mills shipping into the port of Charleston, turning those boats around, sending them to Guatemala, and saying this yarn is now U.S. origin.
Cass Johnson with the National Council of Textile Organizations says counterfeit fabrics cost $1 billion every year in lost tariffs. The proposal, stepped up investigations and a new Office of Textile and Apparel Enforcement. With manufacturers and the U.S. Treasury feeling a little threadbare, it's likely to get a good look. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
The idea of burying global warming emissions deep underground to keep them out of the atmosphere is making for some strange bedfellows. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
Kerwin Olson is a dyed-in-the-wool liberal activist. He believes in global warming and a tax on carbon. But last year, he found himself helping residents in Greenville, Ohio, a small rural town dominated by Republicans.
Do we want it? Yeah. Yeah.
Greenville residents had come to rally against a government-funded project to bury carbon emissions from a local ethanol plant. If the technology works, it could be widely used to clean up carbon emissions from burning coal.
The main thing that I told them was that that all politics are local and that you have a much better shot at killing this thing dealing with your local official.
Olson doesn't often side with conservatives, but this time he found common ground, albeit for different reasons. Olson sees the technology as nothing more than propping up dirty coal. Many conservatives see it as unnecessary. Take Greenville's state representative Jim Zeringer.
I think it's a boondoggle. I don't buy into the whole belief that carbon's bad.
But carbon storage isn't just making for odd allies. It's also dividing traditional friends. Take environmentalists. The Sierra Club in Ohio opposes it. The advocacy group argues the money spent on CO2 storage should go to renewable energy and efficiency instead. But another green group, the Ohio Environmental Council, supports it.
We feel as though the science is dire. We are focused on getting massive reductions on a very fast timetable. And to do that, you've got to deal with major emission producers.
The council's Nolan Moser says coal-fired power isn't going to disappear tomorrow, so at least burying the emissions helps slow global warming. But Greenville residents succeeded in killing efforts to store carbon beneath their town. Now the government is looking to try it someplace else. In Ohio, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And you can visit Greenville, Ohio through our website. Sarah narrates a slideshow of her trip there at marketplace.org. And finally, here's all the week's business news in a Marketplace minute. I take off work for a couple of weeks, and in that time, the entire world freaks. Stocks seek a retreat from their peaks, which speaks to the havoc that's wreaked by the Greeks. BP seeks to speak to critiques that its technique for plugging leaks reeks. And speaking of bleak, tough week for the euro, which Stephen Beard in our London Bureau reminds us is not good for U.S. exports. Germany outlawed naked shorts. Democrats say their financial reform can keep the collapse from becoming the norm. It's solving the problem. It's lifting the curse. Republicans say it makes everything worse. Iceland's volcanoes resuming its pluming, which has airlines fuming, but train travel's booming. And you knew this would come out sooner or later. Facebook's been sharing your personal data. I promise you no one will see your ID when you hang out at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.